And I think we have Rick Sterling. Well, hello, Rick Sterling. Are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you today?
Very good. And I'm glad to be talking to you. We've had a few technical problems, but now you have two articles that have caught everyone's attention. And today's, and I want to link it to, one is about these NGOs, that particularly the group called the White Helmets, and the other is your article on how Russian athletes were unfairly banned at the Olympics. Let's begin with the White Helmets, because I read in the Toronto Star that they have been nominated for the, and I'll read you the way they write it. White Helmets, uh-huh. White Helmets get Nobel Prize nod for dangerous war zone work.
Wow.
A Toronto Star reader can be forgiven for thinking they'd already won it. You're one who's spoken out against their being nominated, or not nominated, but for even being considered. What is it about the White Helmets?
Well, basically, the White Helmets is a propaganda tool of the West. I wrote about it in an article that was published in Dissident Voice. The article was called Seven Steps of Highly Effective Manipulators, and the subtitle was White Helmets, Avaz, Nicholas Kristof, and Syria No-Fly Zone. The no-fly zone just doesn't go away, and in fact it's becoming a more and more more of a dangerous possibility. But the White Helmets, as I researched into it, the chain of events was that some big government, or possibly Saudi Arabia or Qatar or the U.S. probably, gave a contract to a company called Purpose Incorporated. And the contract was for them to create movement around Syria. In other words, a big campaign to promote public support for the regime change policy that the U.S., Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Israel, and a host of other countries, including Canada, has been pushing for. Mm-hmm. And so what Purpose did, and in my article, there's reference links to it. I got a lot of the information from their own websites, in fact. Their wording was they incubated the Syria campaign.
Incubated, lovely.
Yes, that was their word. They incubated the Syria campaign, and you can look online and see all sorts of information about the Syria campaign. And the Syria campaign was the organization that branded the White Helmets. Mm-hmm. It was actually, another name for it is the Syria Civil Defense, and that was basically a British military contractor received a contract to do some training in rescue operations in Turkey. So they basically brought some Syrians out. They trained them in some rescue operations led by this guy, James Le Mesurier, the British contractor, and then that is basically what became the White Helmets.
Yeah.
They got more and more money. They got, I think it was $18 million last year from the U.S. They got a total of $35 million. They've been funded by the U.S. and the U.K. right from the start. And what they do is, it's a very devious kind of role that they play. They tug at people's heartstrings. Here are these brave people who are risking their lives doing this and that rescue work. And what their primary role is to push for greater U.S. intervention. So they actively call for the U.S. to intervene in Syria. Basically, a no-fly zone is what they call for. Well, a no-fly zone basically involves attacking, it involves war on another country, because you have to start by knocking out the air defense installations of the country to eliminate the possibility of them flying in the region.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a slick propaganda tool. It actually undercuts the work of the Red Crescent, which honestly does work in both sides. They are genuinely neutral. role, and they work both in the opposition-held areas as well as the government-held areas.
Yeah, by the way, doing
ambulance work.
There's
the white helmets, not. They only work in the areas, and it's primarily they work in the areas controlled by Nusra, that is the Al-Qaeda, the Al-Qaeda brand in Syria.
Yeah. By the way, I hear there's an issue there. It sounds like the old Medicine Sans Frontières, who managed to insinuate themselves between the Red Cross and the work it did, so that people began to treat medicine. Medicine Sans Frontières ended up winning a Nobel, so I suppose we might not be surprised if these guys win it.
Well, I think we will. One of my compañeras, Vanessa Beely, launched a petition. The last time I checked, our petition had as many signatures as theirs did, and our petition was to not give the Nobel Prize to the White Helmets, and we basically exposed what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So they do. They just only work on one side of the conflict, and they basically serve as a kind of a PR campaign.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I heard about them, and the reason I researched into them, was that somebody I know and respect thought they were pretty good, and he was telling me about them. This was maybe a year and a half or 2 years ago. So I started looking into them, and that's when I discovered they were actually a creation of this marketing company.
And talk about marketing, by the way, White Helmet. What could be more pure?
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, thank you very much for that. And I think I'm going to write to the Toronto Star and tell them to get your article. The other thing is we need to ask you about is this, how politics is creeping into, creeping into the Olympics. Russian athletes were unfairly banned, and according to your article. Now, why do you say that they were unfairly banned?
Because most of the athletes who were prevented from competing at the Olympics are clean athletes. There are many that have been tested dozens and hundreds of times and never been found to be doping or to be using performance-enhancing drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So now this is a fascinating story. And it's going to be in the air over the next 24 hours. So your call today is very, very timely, because either tonight or tomorrow, the Appeal Commission of the Paralympics is going to either reverse or sustain the banning of the Russian Paralympic athletes, 267 disabled people, physically or mentally disabled, who were training to compete in the Paralympics, which starts in early September.
Yeah, some of them have already arrived.
In Rio,
mm-hmm.
They were banned by the International Paralympic Committee following the recommendations of Canadian lawyer Richard McLaren.
Okay, we're ashamed.
This guy, McLaren, produced a report known as the McLaren Report that is really a... it's kind of amazing that it has not been scrutinized and criticized more than it has, because he makes all sorts of accusations and he doesn't provide the evidence.
Well, you point out that he didn't actually give the Russian athletic organizations an opportunity to reply or rebut information.
Exactly. He admits it, and not only that, the Russians, a Russian Ministry of Sports official, sent what he calls a lengthy narrative with attachments. They sent some information and facts, and he refused to consider it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's very elementary justice that you, when you're going to accuse somebody of something, you give them a chance to respond and defend themselves or rebut false information. In this case, McLaren didn't take the trouble to go to Russia and talk with people. He didn't try to communicate with them from wherever he lives in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And he rejected their own submissions. It's astounding.
Yeah.
This is part of the connected with the World Anti-Doping Agency based in Montreal. He spoke privately to the International Paralympic Committee and the IAAF.
Privately?
Exactly.
Where's the
track and field? There are about 30 different sports that make up the Olympics, and one of them, the biggest, is track and field. But you've got all these other sports, whether it's handball or volleyball or basketball or, you've got swimming and so forth. But the track and field is the biggest. Well, McLaren spoke privately with the leaders of the IAAF, and that resulted in the banning of the entire Russian track and field team.
Yeah.
So the problem here is doping is a real problem, and there is a history of doping problems in Russia. We all remember Ben Johnson. I mean, this is not a uniquely Russian problem.
And Marion Jones, thank you very
Marion
much.
Marion Jones, I mean,
we could trade
US,
these names.
A lot of athletes have.
Well, listen, two American athletes participated in the 4x4. Two of them had previously been banned for using drugs.
Exactly. So
everybody's happy with that.
The problem was that McLaren produced a report that made a lot of accusations, state-sponsored doping. Now, he never said that all of the Russians were doping.
Mm-hmm. Hello? Hello? I think we lost Rick. Sound like an interesting part there. I wonder if we've lost me. I don't think so. We will double-check on Rick. Because I can tell you, I recommend this article, by the way, and he, as he said, here's the way to do it. Just write Rick Sterling and the word Olympics, and you will find not one but several